You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Coming your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. It is the Gym Class, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out at their website, dupaco.com, and learn how you can boost your financial well-being. Great to have you aboard as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. Local programming continues. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me in just a moment from his home on the southwest side. And Ben on the other side of the glass once again here today. Good show for you. We will have Caddy Smack on the Gym Class talking golf with you with Brian Haas coming up here in just a little bit with Lake House Golf and other ventures. We will talk with Brian, answer your questions about your game going into the middle of the month of August. Get those ready to go at 319-366-1600. Talk about topics in the world of golf and a whole lot more. We'll talk about last night's game in Dyersville between the Bunnies and the Blue Sox, but it's the Colonels and the River Bandits. We'll talk about that and some breaking news as far as the Field of Dreams is concerned as they prepare for tomorrow night's Major League battle between the Cubs and the Reds. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you as we entertain you through this 3 o'clock hour. Mark joining me from his home on the southwest side on a pretty pleasant, I guess, early to mid-August afternoon. How you doing?
Doing good. Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, our listeners. And how am I doing? Let's just say better than 2 years ago today.
Yeah. Did everyone kind of glance at the clock today at about 12:30. I surely did. Still picking up in some aspects as far as the derecho is concerned. But yes, 2 years ago today, and that our lives changed for seems like the umpteenth time here, not only in Cedar Rapids, Marion, but also around Eastern Iowa, as that came through. And That is something I would not wish on my worst enemy, Mark.
No, not at all. And unfortunately, some people are still fighting with insurance companies, trying to get homes or barns or whatever it may be rebuilt, and still trying to piece their lives back together after 2 years. I'm one of the fortunate ones. My work is done, and I had a good experience. But not everybody is in that boat, and I hope they get resolution sooner than later.
I hope so. And, just a remembrance of that, and, that 45 minutes was just crazy. And, again, hopefully we will never have that happen again, making its way through. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. We'll talk some golf with you coming up in just a little bit. Let's start things off with breaking news. Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register coming up with this, and I believe was the first one to go public with it. But the day between the minor league game at the Field of Dreams last night and the major league game that is scheduled for Thursday night at the Field of Dreams, we have the news that, at least for 1 year anyway, in 2023, Major League Baseball will not have a Field of Dreams game at the movie site in Dyersville. That, according to Frank Thomas, one of the owners, a consortium of owners, as far as the Field of Dreams movie site is concerned, et cetera, et cetera. But too much construction next year, putting in all the youth baseball and softball and the hotels and the dorms and whatever to make the Field of Dreams site look absolutely sterling beautiful. That's my own opinion about that. But there will not be a game next year, Mark.
Yeah, in addition to all that, a hotel, an amphitheater, and the quaint little property that was the Field of Dreams movie site is going to be looking a whole lot different in a couple of years. And I told you earlier, Scott, and watching the game last night, remembering the game last year and knowing there's a game tomorrow night, hearing Frank Thomas talk about future plans, I was in the back of my mind fearing that maybe too much of a good thing. And maybe a year off is good.
I don't think it's a bad thing, to be honest with you. Like you said, I think it is. I'm with you. I think it might be a good thing just to take a little step back, if you will. And, you know, the Cubs and the Reds, no one's going to be fooled by the fact that this is a big game as far as the Major League Baseball schedule is concerned coming up tomorrow evening. We know that, but it's a big event. It's a big event. It's the second Major League Baseball game to be played in the state of Iowa. It's still going to be a full house. It's still going to be a happening. We know that. But yeah, you got to be somewhat careful with a good thing, and you got to put a different spin on it, I think, as well as you move down the line in future years.
That's the challenge, because last year you couldn't have scripted it any better. Between the pregame stuff, Kevin Costner coming out, Tim Anderson hitting a walk-off home run, the production of the game itself. And, you know, what are they going to do tomorrow to top it? I don't care if it's the Cubs, Reds, or Indians, Marlins. You know, whoever is going to play in the game, how's it going to be any better than that first one? And going forward, is there going to be multiple games? Now, last night was different. First minor league game, a couple of the remaining affiliated minor league ball clubs playing Cedar Rapids and Quad Cities. Oh, I'm sorry, Cedar Rapids and Davenport. But we can talk about that production, which I thought was pretty good.
319-366-1600, if you'd like to comment. What are your thoughts about the game last night? Were you there? Did you view it on the Major League Baseball Network? I took it in on MLB, as you did, Mark, and it was what it was slated to be, I think, as far as MLB Network did not go in depth as far as X's and O's, as far as Cedar Rapids versus Quad Cities. We knew that wasn't going to happen. They were going after stories. They had a story, a quaint little story about most of the players that were starting last night. Muhlenbach got in, the native of the state of Iowa from Urbandale for the Colonels. That was nice to see. Get him an inning, get in there and pitch. Had a couple of guys mic'd up, one for each team. They did the things that they needed to do. But you know what? MLB Network wasn't going to, you know, break down the Colonels' season, things like that. They were going in generalities last night, which is what it should be. And I thought it was a pretty good production by MLB Network.
Yeah, I did too. And as far as the game itself, Quad Cities winning the game 7-2, and Chandler Champlain, who came over to the Royals in the Benintendi trade, was brilliant on the mound. 6 shutout innings, and learned a little bit about a guy named Tyler Tolbert, who was perfect on the season in stolen bases, and something like 131 out of 134 in his minor league career, stolen bases. Hello, Vince Coleman.
Willie Wilson, I was thinking.
Yeah. But the production itself, I thought Harold Reynolds was really good, except for the fact that he might have went a little overboard on the corn in Iowa, which we're very proud of. Sometimes we poo-poo that when the national folks come in. But Harold was effusive in his praise for sweet corn. DeKalb maybe now employing Reynolds on the payroll. I don't know. But also, Reynolds was able to impart some of his experiences in the Midwest League. He played for Wausau, I believe, which was a Mariners affiliate back then, and talked about being in some of the ballparks, some of which are not in affiliated baseball right now, but his travels through the Midwest League and some of the players he encountered, I thought was a nice touch.
It was. You got to see all those great haunts. Wisconsin Rapids. That was a good one. You know, in other places.
It wasn't a good experience when Herbeck and Gaetti were there.
No, it probably wasn't. Wasn't indeed. And 319-366-1600 here as we come up on 15 past the hour of 3. We'll bring in Brian Haas coming up here in just a little bit and a special guest as well. And your questions for Brian on the world of golf are welcome here in just a little bit as we're on the eve of the FedEx Cup playoffs. And we'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. And also one day closer as far as football is concerned. And happy first day of pads to all of the football players out there.
Yeah, and it's weather very conducive as opposed to previous years. And we get the NBC Golf Super Meet tomorrow. And the 2022-23 season is going to be underway very quickly. Cyclone Tim, I can't answer your question because I don't know. Will the Colonels get any of their first half players for the playoffs back that aren't here now?
No, but they're getting a pretty good one tonight. Brooks Lee, the Twins' number one draft choice, 8 overall out of Cal Poly, is going to join the Colonels tonight. So that's a boost. Different organizations do it differently as far as getting ready for minor league playoffs are concerned, Mark. We've seen enough of these going around with Cedar Rapids over the years. There are some organizations that put a lot of emphasis on the playoffs in the minor leagues. There are some organizations that don't put any emphasis on the playoffs. You could see some players coming down if you want to really win. in the old days when Cedar Rapids was a low A team, you saw at times some Double A guys come in, and teams that were opposing Cedar Rapids would bring in Double A guys, and it's just how you want to approach it. And I don't think that the Twins have made any huge, big, monstrous moves as far as helping out a team win a championship. I think they just kind of let the guys play the game. But Brooks Lee is going to help, no doubt about that.
You would think so. First round pick, number 8 overall. You would think he's going to help. He's a shortstop, and he'll be in uniform tonight in Davenport when Cedar Rapids and Quad Cities get together. And Scott, I remember, maybe you do as well, one playoff Cedar Rapids was involved in years ago against Springfield, the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals decided to send Vince Coleman.
Yep.
Down and play in the playoffs. He was either in Double or Triple A at the time, but he was renowned for his stolen bases. I don't recall how that series turned out, but that was an example of the Cardinals doing everything they could to help Springfield win that series.
True. Yeah, remember that. No tarp incidents with Vince, by the way, at that time. 319-366-1600 here at 318. Mark, going to send to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. An early one today is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, behind Taco John's. Check them out online at emilshideaway.com. They are open each and every day at 4 p.m.
We had Brooks Lee on the scoreboard, and you amply covered that.
Sorry.
Appreciate that. Finals in Major League Baseball, the Mets have defeated Cincinnati 10-2. The Reds preparing to head to probably Dubuque Airport, right? And head to Dyersville. Games in progress. Tampa Bay leading Milwaukee 3-2. Washington leading the Chicago Cubs 2-1, bottom of seventh. Also Tampa Bay, Milwaukee in the bottom of the seventh. In the third, the Angels and Oakland scoreless. And just underway, the Yankees and Seattle, in addition to San Francisco and San Diego. Finally, Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick outlined his feelings about joining a conference today. And to me, it sounded like pretty happy being independent. He said there's three things that Notre Dame needs to consider in order to join a conference. Number one, a committed broadcast partner. And by the way, Notre Dame's contract with NBC goes through 2025. Secondly, access to the college football playoffs. And finally, a home for Olympic sports. I know I didn't look into it, but I think Notre Dame has hockey, right, Scott?
Correct.
And not a lot of teams in the Big Ten. I have hockey, Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Michigan,
yeah.
Michigan State, Ohio State. I think that's it. But
that was Swarbrick's comments today, for whatever it's worth.
For whatever it is worth. 3:20, we're going to get ready to talk some golf with you coming up here in just a little bit. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. We'll do that after a look at weather and a break here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm with the first meteorologist Garrett Hyde with a check of your forecast. Mostly sunny skies. Stick with us throughout our day today. Highs rising into the middle 80s. Overall, comfort-wise, not too bad for us. But temperatures will continue to work their way down to around 64 degrees for an overnight low. We'll see some areas of some patchy fog develop as we head into the early morning hours of Thursday. Chances for showers and a few rumbles of thunder do come up a little bit as we head into Thursday afternoon. Overall, if you have any plans to head out to the Field of Dreams game, probably not going to have too much of an issue for you. Otherwise, it'll be a much more comfortable end to the work week. And that's your latest Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
At a cooperative like DePaco Credit Union, you're not just a member, you're also an owner. And that means your active participation not only powers the credit union, but promotes financial well-being through education, better rates, fewer fees, and thank yous. A special member benefit that thanks you with extra cash dividends just for using your credit union. Together since 2016, DePaco members have shared more than $20.5 million in thank yous. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more by saving, borrowing, investing, and insuring with DePaco. Not a member? Get the details and learn how to earn at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
For a beautiful look that protects and stays clean, choose Dutch Boy Paint from Menards, now all 11% off. Get quality products with smart technology like mildew-resistant coating, stain shield, and dirt-resistant paint and primer in the award-winning Dutch Boy Twist and Pour containers. Get 11% off everything, including the full line of Dutch Boy Paints, now at Menards. Good through August 14th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
What amazing feat can you accomplish in 2 seconds? You can shoot the winning shot of the championship game. You can rocket 110 feet into the sky in the world's fastest elevator. You can even perfect your yodel.
Yodel-ay-hoo.
But maybe the most monumental feat you can accomplish in 2 seconds is saving a life, your life, just by buckling your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
We need to hire for another position. No problem. It's not like I'm already trying to juggle 5 job sites, screen candidates, schedule interviews, and, you know, do my job.
You've had it, and we get it. JobFunnel simplifies your search. Fill out info once, and we post it to all the big job sites. JobFunnel makes it easy to prioritize applicants, keep track of things, even send bulk email responses, all from one streamlined hub. Go to KZIA.com and click on JobFunnel to get started. Breathe. JobFunnel's on it.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
As we welcome you back at 3:24, it is Caddy Smack on the Gym Class time here on KGYM, our bi-weekly talk of golf. We have one more scheduled for the 2022 season. That'll be coming up in a couple of weeks, just on the eve of the football season. We'll get to Brian coming up here in just a couple of moments. Mark, you talked about the fact that Harold Reynolds loves corn. 8077 on the text line. Can someone explain to those guys that this is not sweet corn, for the love of Pete?
Well, Scott, I've never lived on a farm, never planted any corn, never detasseled. But if it's not sweet corn, what is it? Get back to us, 8077.
The regular corn is surrounding the field.
There's field corn and sweet corn.
Correct.
Pick sweet corn earlier than the animals eat the field corn.
Correct.
But, I mean, we have the Sweet Corn Festival. Every stand in town advertises sweet corn. I'm missing something here.
They thought, don't eat the field corn, Harold. Please, don't do that.
No.
Yeah, you'll regret it. 325 here on the program. Scott and Mark with you as we get ready to talk golf with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. And welcome in our friend Brian Haas. Brian helping us out for many, many years as our man, as far as being our golf professional here on Caddy Smack, now out at Saddleback and with lakehousegolf.com, joining us here on the program. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well. Guys, thanks. I can't believe it's coming close to the end of our 10th year together.
Has it been 10 years? Wow.
It's been 10 years, yeah.
That, boy, time flies when you're having a good time, doesn't it?
It does. It's been, yeah, I couldn't believe it either.
Well, and speaking of having a good time here, we have a special guest on the on the phone with us as well that I think you know pretty well, right?
Yeah, that's his own fault, actually, that I know him that well. But, yeah, Michael and I have been together for a long time. We started working together when he was in high school. We worked on his game at that point, and then he had a nice career at Wartburg College and played some really good golf at Wartburg and then became a golf professional for a little while before getting his amateur status back.
Correct, and Michael Canfield joining us here, and you know him pretty well. We'll just say that, right?
Yeah. Well, he met my daughter, and they got married. That's the part that's his fault.
Well, Michael is the congratulations, because he is the Iowa City Am champion of this year. Not only that, but also has qualified to play in the very prestigious U.S. Mid-Amateur that's going to be coming up next month up at Erin Hills in Wisconsin. So a couple of things to talk about with Michael. So
yeah, very exciting with that, too. And as we know from the past, Mike McCoy, who won the Amateur Mid-Am a number of years back, the champion from the Mid-Am plays in the Masters. So it's another huge feat that possibly we got a good chance of another Iowan making a run at.
Awesome. And hey, Michael, appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on, and congratulations on the title over the weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on here. Very excited to be on.
Tougher.
Michael, did Brian vet you before you married his daughter in terms of your golf game? How'd that go down?
Well, it first started off with Drew's oldest son, or Brian's oldest son, Drew, at golf camp in 2009 in Iowa, and that's when I first met Brian. And then 2010 is when I started in hard on the lessons with Brian in the middle of high school.
Okay,
Brian, you want to weigh in there?
Yeah, and that's true. It's very true. It's funny, I consider, besides, Michael being my son-in-law and a family member, I consider him a really close friend. When you coach somebody that long, all through most of his high school career and then all of college and then work together. And then we partnered up in some golf professional events as well. You get to know each other, and we're friends, at first and foremost. I always tease Jillian that that if something ever goes wrong in their marriage, I'm keeping Michael.
Because it's hard to find a partner in the best shot.
right. We got the professional scratch, the Iowa PGA Pro Scratch coming up here in not too long, in a few weeks. And you know, Michael's now an amateur. They went and back, got his amateur status back, and he makes a great a pro scratch partner for me, for sure.
Mm-hmm. One more. Is it harder to make a 10-footer, Michael, or, you know, approach Brian on asking for his daughter's hand in marriage?
Oh, 10-footer easily. That's way harder.
That's funny.
Michael, how'd the Iowa City Amateur go down? Tell us, walk us through your championship. You played three very challenging courses.
Yeah, so first I started Friday up at Brown Deer and still coming off cloud nine from Monday and winning that playoff to go to Erin Hills. So showed up about an hour 20 early to Brown Deer to get warmed up. And tell you what, I was more nervous for the Iowa City AMs than the USGA mid-AM qualifier back at Geneva, just with my expectations going in. And Friday, I didn't play my best. I shot 2 over 73 and struggled on the greens, and I couldn't get my 56 degree dialed in from 100 yards and threw some long, threw some short. But knew after my 2 over, after all the scores were done, that if I posted a good score Saturday in all the heats, that I could move up the list and then have a good chance on Sunday at Pleasant Valley.
Well, you talk about heat, and you guys, we were kind of expecting that as well up here in Cedar Rapids with the City AMs going on as well. Kind of had that haze in Cedar Rapids, but you guys got the heat in a big way.
Yeah, my tee time Saturday was at 12:10, right in the middle of it.
Crazy. And that's tough to deal with that. Then you had to deal with not only the heat, but then you and everybody else in Eastern Iowa had to deal with the rain on Sunday.
Yep, my tee time was originally 1:40 on Sunday, the second to last group, and then I got the notification that it'd be an hour delay, and it didn't really come to mind until I got on the first hole on the first green when all that rain came in, and then the 140 plus golfers walking around the hole. It made it pretty tough to make some putts with all the foot traffic.
Michael, you had to endure a playoff with Ned Carter as well. How did that go down? I know you finished before him, and then your mindset going into the playoff.
Yeah, so I finished. I posted a 4-under, a 68 at Pleasant Valley, and I knew I'd be close, but didn't know how close, and I didn't know how Ned was doing. And Ned was coming down the 18th fairway, and the group of guys are following the group in live scoring. It came up and said, Ned is currently 3-under for the tournament, and I was sitting at 2-under, and he threw his shot into the green, and it was a little back right-ish, still on the green, but still going to be a tough putt. So I went in, grabbed a couple balls, and took my driver and a 7-iron to go make sure I was still loose in case it went to a playoff, and ended up Ned 3-putted 18, and it was go time. I had a chance.
And that's all you ask for is certainly a chance. And, tell you what, kudos to both Cedar Rapids and Iowa City for the way they operate their amateur tournaments, their city tournaments. And like you said, well over 100 down in Iowa City were there for the three-day event. And that's what makes it fun for the amateurs to get out and play, doesn't it?
Absolutely, especially with this flight, everybody has a chance to win their flight, and just a great time, a great camaraderie with everybody to be able to get together, and especially on the final day when everyone's waiting on the 18th green for everyone to come in.
Michael, take us to the mid-amateur qualifier, which qualified you for the national at Erin Hills, as you mentioned. Some people don't know what mid-amateur means, but what happened there?
So at the mid-amateur was down in Muscatine, Iowa at Geneva Golf and Country Club, which I grew up in Muscatine for 9 years. So I played that course for 9 years and knew it pretty well. So I was really pumped to be able to go there and qualify for it, and went in with high hopes. And I knew if anything around the 3 to 4 under would have a really good chance to make it. And the first couple holes, I left myself with some testy 3 to 4 foot par putts and ended up making them. And then on the third hole, I drained the first birdie and knew it's go time now. This is going to be a good round.
And just to get there and play in a USGA championship, it means a lot because these are the best, some of the best golfers in America. And to go play it somewhere like Erin Hills, that's just, you know, that's icing on top of the cake.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's huge. Amazing experience, an opportunity to go to.
What, Michael, went into your decision to you turn pro and then regain your amateur status? What was the thoughts there?
The thought was I was in the golf business, and then when I left for Riverside, I made the decision, you know what, maybe the golf business isn't my future. So I decided to go start working at Hy-Vee, where my dad, Jeff Canfield, and Grandpa Don Canfield were store directors at Hy-Vee. So I decided to start working at Hy-Vee and then get my AM status back and then start playing in a couple more tournaments on the amateur side.
Yeah, and the rest is history, all right?
Yep, exactly.
As they say. And yeah, the first of all, have you been to Erin Hills, or you've just seen it on television and on the internet?
Television and the internet and all social media have not been up there.
All right, I've been up there. I saw the U.S. Open up there. I could take you through it, man. You need a caddy.
There you go. Right.
Brian, what about Michael's game do you like, and what does he need to work on?
Well, he has actually a pretty steady game, and during some of these rounds that he just played, we would text back and forth a little bit, and really, he keeps the ball in front of him pretty well, and on occasion he'll hit a little hook with his driver and get himself in a little bit of trouble, but that, you know, every golfer has that one little thing that they fight a little bit. And I think he had that on his last hole for the mid-am, and it got him in a little bit of trouble. But he recovered from it and you know, made a good bogey on the last hole to stay in there, and then fought back through the playoff. And then again, you know, he didn't really hit it bad for the Iowa City Amateur, and he really worked hard through it. He said he was struggling with a little bit of putting, and we worked on a putting drill, and that was successful for him. So he spent some time running the ladder drill, which we've talked about on the show many times, and really getting the speeds down correct and ready, so that you know, the next day he had control over his putter, and that shows in, you know, his final rounds of what he shot in the 60s for that round.
Very nice. Very nice. And when is the trip to Erin Hills, Michael?
So the tournament starts September 10th, and it goes through the 15th. But as a player, I have to be up there by Thursday, September 8th, by 2 p.m. for the player registration and all the welcome dinners and all the welcome parties, and then be able to get some practice rounds in prior to that Saturday.
Yeah. Make sure you have a very reliable map to get up there, because it is located in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
That's my best advice. Best advice right there.
Hey, probably some early hotel reservations, too.
True. True. Very,
yeah.
Very much so. Very much so. Well, Michael, double congratulations on winning down in Iowa City and then qualifying for the USGA Mid-Am up at Erin Hills. Great to talk with you, and keep up the great playing, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on today.
All right. Appreciate it. Michael Canfield joining us here on Caddy Smack on the Gym Class on KGYM. Now, now that he's gone, you're not going to say all kinds of bad things about your son-in-law, right, Brian?
No, for real. He's a good friend and my son-in-law, which is just funny in and itself. But he's you couldn't ask for a better person, no doubt, and somebody to win our local Iowa City Amateur and be able to advance to Erin Hills. He'll be a great representative for Iowa in the Mid-Am for sure.
Pretty good stuff. Great stuff right there.
Yeah.
319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is the phone line as well. If you have a question for Brian as far as your game is concerned, as we get into Boy, I hate to say late summer, if you will, but we're inching our way that way anyway. And a lot of the big time tournaments are in the rearview mirror now. And, you know, I think people are kind of just taking a step back, maybe breathe a little bit. And now kind of focusing on, you know, playing some fun golf and then also kind of retooling the game a little bit on things that need to be retooled upon.
Yeah, this is a great time to reflect on how your summer went playing, and depending on how serious you take the game, you know, if it's even just at the most basic level and you just like to get out with your friends and enjoy it, you know, this is the time to reflect back and say, all right, where do I want to take this and how far do I want to take it? Because really, we have a lot of time left to start working on your game now that all the events have passed by, or the majority of them anyway, and it's a great time to start working on your game. Right now, too, is when all the high school players start to ramp up. So whether they play fall golf or spring golf, they've just made it through their summer, and the fall golf players are starting to ramp up and get ready for their season. And then the other players that just finished their summer and maybe play spring golf are starting to look at golf in a different way. They're saying, okay, what changes do I need to make? So it's a great time to get started and start looking at your game going forward for the next season and make those changes now while you can start implementing them while we're still playing, and then continue to work on those issues throughout the winter.
Speaking of tournaments, Brian, you had a nice finish at the Iowa PGA senior division,
yeah,
I think T5, something like that.
Yep.
I'm sure you left a couple on the course, but how about your tournament?
Yeah, it was good. It was a good tournament. I think it finished tied fourth, if I remember correctly, but I haven't looked at it in a while. But anyway, it was good for that. Oh, that was the Iowa PGA one, the Iowa Open that I was thinking about. And so I had a couple good events where I kind of finished in the middle of the pack and then tied fourth, I think, in the Iowa Open. I struggled a little bit. I didn't have everything I wanted to go there. But what I really liked about how I played was I just stuck with it and hung in there. No matter how I was hitting it, I just tried to keep it in front of me and then play. And I did a pretty good job of that. Never had any real bad holes. Both golf courses were playing really tough. The Iowa PGA Section Championship at Elmwood was that golf course. They had that almost old school Masters, like where they had it shaved down and fast, and the greens were firm. I hit some 60 degree full wedges that bounced forward and did not spin backwards, which was just crazy. And then the next time I hit a wedge like that at the Iowa Open where the greens were more receptive, that ball came back 30 feet. So just the difference in golf courses was so much fun to play the old school Augusta-like firmness, where if you missed the false front just a little bit, you had a 40-yard or 60-yard pitch back into the green because it rolled 40 to 60 yards back down the fairway. And it was very, very interesting to play that way. I haven't played that way in a long time. And Blue Top, as always, was in perfect condition, and I enjoyed every bit of it. I just wish I had a little bit more of my game heading into there. But I was able to fight through and have a decent finish.
I think the first round there, Brian, didn't you make an eagle on a par four?
Yeah, it was in the final round. I eagled number three. I had about a little 20 or 30-yard pitch. I hit a drive fairly close to the green. I pitched it in, and a little bump and run, couple hops, a little bit of a roll, and it went in like a putt. So
nice.
It was a pretty shot to watch for sure.
And that's a good way to start.
That was a good way to start the third hole of the day, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, got a question here, and if you have a question about your game, for Brian, let us know via the text line, 319-366-1600. This is a terrific question, and I'm waiting this answer because I am guilty of this at times as well. But 2142 asks, I have an issue creating compression with my iron and wedge. What is a good way to think about creating that compression instead of cutting underneath the ball and skying it?
Sure. So that's a great question. In fact, one of my students today, we were working on that a little bit. She came all the way from Galesburg today. Today I held an alignment stick out in front of her about 3 inches off the turf, you know, directly in front, so parallel to the ground, and said, hit it underneath the stick. And if you compress downward toward the ball, trying to hit it under the stick, it'll actually ride up the face and go over the stick. And but your feeling of trying to get your hands in front of the ball through impact and driving the ball underneath that stick will actually make the ball run up the face of the club. And that's what we use today for her to feel that driving motion or that compressing feeling that you want to get at impact. And really what that comes from is the shaft lean at impact, so your hands are in front of the ball through impact. And that visualization of trying to hit a ball underneath a shaft like that, that's just 3 or 4 feet in front of you, will also give you that same sort of feeling of how to get your hands in front of the ball through impact.
Brian, this isn't necessarily, and this is my question, not anyone else's, but not necessarily your forte, but you've been around the game long enough and you talk to people. It has to do with maintenance of a golf course. And these days, everything's prices are through the roof. And I'm sure fertilizer and fuel and whatnot, that's no different in maintaining a golf course. I mean,
right.
Talking to people in the restaurant business, fryer oil is three times as what it was a couple of years ago. You can't avoid that, but are golf courses in some courses hurting in that regard?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They have to be. And the price hikes just in fuel alone, just to keep the golf course mowed, that's going to be a cost difference, this season. And I haven't really noticed it myself, but, I'm not running around playing a lot of public golf courses that, where I'm looking at the green fee and saying, ooh, that went up $5. But I wouldn't be surprised if we haven't seen that at a lot of facilities. And if they haven't, don't be surprised that they don't do it sooner than later. Because just the same that the restaurants are having, as you mentioned, golf courses have food and beverage as well. All the maintenance to the golf course, and as you mentioned, all the chemicals to maintain that golf course, there's definitely an expense to it. The one saving grace this year for them is we really have, outside of a week of hot weather, and I'm not even sure it lasted a whole week, the two different times that we've had some warm weather, we've had perfect growing conditions. And so hopefully most of the superintendents were able to cut back a little bit in some of the maintenance as far as chemicals go, and save a few dollars. And I know those dollars went right back into the mowers and paying for the gas to maintain the grass height and all the different areas and levels that each of the courses have. Some of the things you'll see at golf courses to save dollars is, for instance, a course like Blue Top will have multiple layers. They'll have, the green height, then they'll have the collar height, then they'll have the fairway height, and then they'll have an intermediate rough, and then the rough, and then obviously the prairie grass. So that's a lot of different heights of grass. And some courses to save money will just eliminate one of those heights somewhere. And that way they're continuing to mow without using a lot of different mowers. That will save some dollars. But yeah, I wouldn't doubt if we stay on this track where we're at right now with the price hikes, that we don't see the cost of golf going up just a little bit more as well.
Just got a text from someone in the know saying fertilizer prices way up. way up. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's hopefully it won't be passed on to the golfers out there. But you have to understand if that is the case a little bit. Brian Haas joining us here on the Gym Class here on KGYM. It is Caddy Smack on the Gym Class as we talk a little golf with you. Hey, before we get to a break, Brian, a question I know a lot of people are probably considering out there. Considering it a little bit as well, a minor tweak or two, but is this the time? I mean, we're getting into the middle of August, September's right around the corner, fall golf then. Is this the time to start thinking anyway about maybe some changes going into 2023? Whether that be a new club, a new grip, whatever the case may be. This got to be the time to start thinking about that, correct?
It is definitely the time for that, and mainly because there's still a lot of good weather left to start making those changes and make a true change in what you're doing or in your equipment and start getting used to it so that you're ready for next season. With high school players and college players, I'm always trying to get that in their hands, you know, early enough to, that they're not walking into their season with new stuff in their hands as far as equipment goes. And the same thing goes for your golf swing. You don't want to walk into the new season with some new thoughts and maybe some new swing patterns, you know, in order to make your swing better. Those are things that you want to have a little bit of time with before you have to put them under the pressure swings in competition. So, this is a great time to make changes. My business itself, like many golf professionals, it'll kick up a little bit. We'll have a little lull while everybody heads back into school. Everybody has to get settled in, and you know, that's the parents and the kids all alike, you know, whoever's trying to make their changes. And then once they all kind of get settled into school, then it kicks back up again. They realize, hey, I got a good month and a half or 2 months of good weather left, and we get busy.
Let's take
all right, Brian, I got a four-person best shot Saturday. Best piece of advice.
Yeah, the four-person best shots. Well, they're fun, and really, in order to win those, you really do have to take shots that you wouldn't normally take on the golf course, and take lines that you wouldn't normally take. And that's the only way you can really win those events, because you know the other groups are definitely doing that. And one of the hard things to do, I think, on the putting side, is you know, you always say don't leave it short, but when you start hitting putts in those best shots a little faster than you normally do, well, you just miss them faster. And you need to keep your same speed that you normally roll putts at. Even if that means if you leave one short, you know, your odds of making more putts if you putt at your speed than maybe a little bit faster, making sure you get it all the way to the hole. Those are the ones that, you know, they end up staying on the line and they don't take the break because you hit it a little too fast for what you're used to seeing for the break. So my advice is take the chances on the lines on the golf course when you're hitting your shots. But when you get on the putting green, putt the way you normally putt so that you can make more putts.
There you go. There you go. Or find a 70-year-old that is really good
at putting. Isn't that funny, though? That is so true.
And get them up on the four tees, man. That's a big help as well. All right, we'll take a short break, come back, and have more of Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
Good morning, boss.
What's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk.
You mean Hope Desk?
Hope Desk.
I call and hope I get help, but they either stick me on hold or say I'll get a call back in a couple hours. We need help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, then you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
Get help now with IT Solutions. They continually monitor their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hope desk for you to call for your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you never just hope, you get help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Learn more online at weneedhelpnow.com.
Weneedhelpnow.com.
3:53 on the Gym Class for a Wednesday on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow on the program, looking forward to talking with Scott Docterman, not only about everything going on in college football, the Iowa Hawkeyes. He was at Iowa State Media Day. He's also going to be in Dyersville tomorrow for Cubs and the Reds. So we will talk with Doc coming up on Thursday. 319-366-1600. Still a couple minutes if you have a question about your game that Brian can answer. And before we depart here today, guys, we should mention, of course, yesterday, big day number one as far as golf. And as it was Golf Digest, now they are terming this golf's civil war. And I don't know if, whatever. That's for you to decide if that's good or not. But at any rate, the first win, it's now, as Golf Digest also put it, the PGA Tour is one up on the LIV right now after the judges' ruling yesterday. The three players that were eligible at least to play at one time in the FedEx Cup playoffs are not going to be allowed to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs. There's going to be plenty more on this. And as 8186 on the text line asks, yes, the latest rumor after Cameron Smith yesterday, guys, is that probable rookie of the year Cameron Young is also going to make the leap to the LIV Tour.
Well, you, Scott, you mentioned the PGA Tour going one up. I would add to that through one hole.
Through one hole, yes.
I don't think any of the three of us really know where all this is going to land. And I think a lot of these players, Brian, are thinking that eventually they're going to be allowed back on the PGA Tour through litigation, what have you.
Or a compromise between the two.
Through a merger, through whatever. I think they're betting on that right now and go ahead and get some money.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't see how at the end that the PGA Tour can say you can't play the PGA Tour as long as they qualify. So I don't think you can say, because, you know, players have been playing over in Japan. They've been playing all over the world for a long time. And that's going to be their stand on the LIV side. And rightfully so. You know, these players have been going all over the world and taking money to play somewhere else. And they're just not doing it during a PGA Tour event. And so LIV does have a leg to stand on in that sense. And they've allowed that, and they just had to ask for permission to go do it, and they've allowed it for a good number of years. So I think ultimately where they're going to end up is they will find a way to say, okay, if you want back on the PGA Tour, you have to go to this qualifier and re-qualify back in. But I think somewhere in there's going to be some sort of a negotiation as to how that happens and who's even eligible to go to that qualifier. I don't know that they'll have to go all the way back to Q school because they've kind of already proven themselves and maybe on the world stage as well. But I think we're going to see some sort of compromise in there. And I agree with you, Mark, when you say, you know, they're one down through one hole. I think that's as far as we are. We're nowhere near the 18th green yet.
Nowhere near. And I just fear that the ones that are going to lose out are folks like the John Deere Classic and those. I just have a bad, bad feeling about that. But we will see. And Brian, before we let you go here, again, let us know about the website and everything you got cooking.
Yeah, thank you. Yep, we're working on getting some indoor facilities in North Liberty, and it's lakehousesports.com, and just working on players getting better. You know, my business is more on helping players go to that next level. I may not be your teacher for the person that wants a little help with a grip or something like that. I'm kind of more the teacher that takes you to that next level, and so that's what we do, and I'm looking at and working on building facilities that players can come in and work and practice like you would go to a gym and work and practice on your game. So golf is heading in new directions, and our technology is allowing that, and that's where we're headed at Lake House Sports.
Awesome. Good stuff right there. And Brian, we will talk again in a couple of weeks. FedEx Cup playoffs starting tomorrow in Memphis.
Exciting.
That'll be fun. And people denying rumors and all that fun stuff. And we'll see how it all plays out. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, guys. Let's set a date and get out and play sometime in the next week or so.
There you go. We need to do that. And Mark, we will talk with you coming up tomorrow here on the program as we will, again, talk to Scott Docterman. Looking forward to that.
Sounds great. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Go work on the putting and things like that for Saturday, okay?
I got a lot to work on. I got to run the tournament, too, so.
There you go. All right. Todd and Alex coming your way next on KGYM. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Oh, are you seeing these readings? This is incredible.
Short-staffed, Marco's